The White House officially launches its new space policy. Scientists applaud, but some lawmakers scorn. And the head of NASA says his agency is ready. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 30th, 2010. In a news release from the White House on Monday, President Obama outlined the new U.S. space policy, which has the private sector giddy and the entrenched aerospace interests preparing for battle. Obama says the decades that followed the Cold War space race have seen a radical transformation in the way we live our daily lives, in large part due to our use of space. The impacts of the utilization of space systems are ubiquitous and contribute to increased transparency and stability among nations. He says the new policy, quote, reflects the ways in which our imperatives and our obligations in space have changed in recent decades. No longer are we racing against an adversary. In fact, one of our central goals is to promote peaceful cooperation and collaboration in space, which not only will ward off conflict, but will help to expand our capacity to operate in orbit and beyond. In addition, this policy recognizes that as our reliance on satellites and other space-based technologies increases, so too does our responsibility to address challenges, such as debris and other hazards. No longer is space just a destination to reach. It is a place where we must be able to work in ways that are responsible, sustainable, and safe. And it is central to our security and the security of our allies, as space-based technology allows us to communicate more effectively, to operate with greater precision and clarity, and to better protect our men and women in uniform. But, above all, this policy is about the boundless possibilities of the future. That is why we seek to spur a burgeoning commercial space industry, to rapidly increase our capabilities in space while bolstering America's competitive edge in the global economy. And this policy recognizes the importance of inspiring a new generation of young people to pursue careers in science and engineering. For ultimately, our leadership as a nation, in this or any endeavor, will depend on them. Unquote. The Union of Concerned Scientists hails the Obama policy as a return to the traditional U.S. position supporting the right of all nations to use space peacefully and without interference, and says arms control fits with this vision. Lawmakers, upset that the NASA budget flow to their states will stop, remain opposed. Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch commented, quote, I urge the president to rethink this flawed policy, because while this might be a new direction for manned spaceflight, it's a direction we don't want to take, unquote. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden says his agency is ready to embrace the new plan. Quote, NASA is pleased to be an integral part of President Obama's national space policy. NASA has a key role in achieving the goals defined in the new policy. We are committed to working with other agencies, industry, and international partners to achieve national goals in exploration, human and robotic, and technology development that will ensure a robust future for the U.S. and our friends around the world. This new space policy sets our nation on a path to develop the next generation of capabilities we will need to live and work in space. Human and robotic exploration will flourish and bring a wealth of economic and scientific dividends. We will reach new horizons of discovery and expand the reach of humans throughout the solar system. NASA stands ready to again transform our perspectives and expectations and help the nation reach its highest potential, unquote. You can read more of Bolden's comments and much more detail on the Obama policy and reaction to it in stories dated June 29th at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, the FAA wants tighter standards for known ICE certification. Executive Airlines and Dassault Falcon face stiff fines. And Centurion's new diesel is STC'd for the Cessna 172 in Europe. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 30th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA is proposing new known ICE certification standards for transport category aircraft, which would add requirements dealing with the icing mode known as SLD for supercooled large drops. The proposed regulations would mandate that new transport category aircraft most affected by SLD meet expanded safety standards, including additional airplane performance and handling qualities. The rule also would require all new transport category designs to be able to fly in conditions where supercooled liquid and ice crystals exist. The FAA is also proposing changes that would expand the icing certification requirements for engines, engine installations, and components such as pitot-static and angle of attack sensors. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt commented, quote, "These regulations will help ensure future aircraft can operate safely in some of the toughest icing conditions," unquote. The FAA has already issued 112 airworthiness directives for transport category aircraft related to icing, 21 of them specifically related to SLD. The ADs require flight crews to exit icing conditions when they see visual cues indicating the conditions exceed the capabilities of the aircraft's ice protection equipment. The FAA Monday proposed stiff civil penalties against Executive Airlines and Dassault Falcon. Executive is based in Puerto Rico, but you may have flown one of its flights under the American Eagle name. The company allegedly operated 8 of its ATR-42 twin turboprop airliners on over 6,000 revenue flights without documenting required detailed visual inspections to detect possible cracks on the aileron center hinge bearing fittings. The FAA says that warrants a fine of $700,000. In the case of Dassault Falcon, the FAA alleges that after receiving a warning notice in January of 2008, Dassault Falcon approved 18 airplanes for return to service between March of 2008 and April of 2009, with hundreds of parts electroplated by the company or its contractors without the required FAA rating to perform such work. That's triggered a proposed fine of $450,000. Both companies have 30 days to respond. Centurion, the company which arose from the ashes of bankruptcy alert, has announced a European STC for its new 2.0S kerosene piston aircraft engine in the Cessna 172. The first retrofitted customer aircraft will go to the Isle of Wight in England and Switzerland, and this summer to Ethiopia. The 2.0S makes 155 horsepower. That's 20 more than the previous 2.0 with identical weight, but TBR is 1,000 hours, down from the less powerful engine's 1,500. The company still sells new engines with a voucher for clutch and gearbox replacement at 300 hours. Those vouchers will be honored until the parts receive 600-hour approval. Centurion is also offering owners of the original 1.7 engine a rebate for unused flight hours till TBR when they upgrade to the 2.0. Get details on all the company's programs at centurion.aero. Maybe it's good the airlines have cut back on meals. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has recently cited a number of airline catering facilities for unsanitary conditions, according to government documents. USA Today reports that LSG Sky Chefs and Gate Gourmet, two of the largest suppliers of food to U.S. airlines, as well as Flying Food Group, were inspected. The three provide more than 100 million meals each year to domestic and international airlines. The FDA reported its inspectors found food improperly stored, unclean equipment, and employees practicing poor hygiene. In some of the 91 kitchens operated by the three companies, inspectors found live roaches, flies, and other indications of poor pest control. All three of the companies said they work hard to be sure food served on airlines is safe, and the airlines also insist that they carefully monitor food that goes onto the planes. But a former Florida State food inspector told the paper that the conditions make food poisoning a very real possibility. Still ahead, Marcus Schrenker's stuff hits the auction block. The FBI helps suppress an anti-tiger banner at the U.S. Open. And a shuttle commander gets a blunt question in Japan. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, June 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Congratulations, we made it through another quarter. The assets of Marcus Schrenker were auctioned off over the weekend in Indianapolis. If that name rings a bell, Schrenker is the financier from Indiana who parachuted from his plane in an attempt to fake his own death as authorities closed in on him with allegations he bilked investors out of about $1.5 million. Schrenker was convicted of bailing out of his airplane over Alabama. The aircraft eventually ran out of fuel and went down in a swamp in Florida. He had stashed a motorcycle in a shed near his intended bailout point, and eluded authorities for several days before being captured. Schrenker's boat, reportedly worth about $68,000, according to the Associated Press, sold for $28,000. Hundreds of people reportedly turned out for the auction. Schrenker is serving 4 years in prison for intentionally crashing the airplane. He's pleaded not guilty to the charges connected to the alleged investment scheme. That trial is scheduled to start this fall. We probably could have assumed this anyway, but it looks like somebody at the U.S. Open golf tournament has friends in high places. The Mercury News reports that FBI Special Agent Joseph Shadler confirms that a plane towing a banner taunting golfer Tiger Woods was asked to leave the airspace around Pebble Beach Golf Course during the U.S. Open on Sunday. The banner read, "Tiger, are you my daddy?" National Sky Ads spokesman Ted DeReeder said the pilot had not violated any airspace rules and had remained at least a half mile away from the course. Special Agent Shadler said the request was made because of safety concerns, and the agency wasn't even aware the plane was towing a banner. Quote, "It happens every single time, every single golf tournament that we're involved in," unquote. But to paraphrase the FAA, that's a crock. FAA spokesman Lynn Lunsford says the FAA often gets requests for TFRs over golf tournaments, and they are routinely denied. More telling, Monterey County Sheriff's Commander Mike Richards said that there was another banner plane in the area towing an advertisement for beer, and it was reportedly not asked to leave. And finally today, Space Shuttle Discovery Commander Alan Poindexter was asked during a recent visit to Tokyo what would happen if astronauts got, well, intimate during a mission. He's said to have responded with a serious face, quote, "We're a group of professionals. We treat each other with respect, and we have a great working relationship. Personal relationships are not an issue. We don't have them, and we won't," unquote. Poindexter recently commanded the two-week STS-131 mission to resupply the International Space Station, which included the first Japanese mother to fly in space. AFP reports that Poindexter and the rest of the STS-131 crew were in Japan to talk about the mission. The mission did mark the first time that there were four women aboard the station at one time. The question in Japan is thought to mark the first time anyone's actually asked a guy named Poindexter about the opposite sex. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jim Campbell looks back on Copa M8 and the presence of other manufacturers courting Cirrus owners. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.